two decades, the prematurity rate has risen by more than 30%. A classification system of preterm babies has been developed just to allow us to better study these groups of preterm infants. Any preterm baby is an infant born less than 37 weeks gestation. A late preterm baby is born between 34 and 36 weeks gestation. A moderately preterm baby is 32 to 36 weeks gestation. And we call very preterm infants are babies that are born less than 32 weeks gestation. Moderately preterm infants, which is the group that I'm focusing on today, comprise over 80% of all preterm births and are the fastest growing subgroup of preterm infants. Their morbidity rates are higher than full-term infants. Interestingly, their brain weight at 34 weeks gestation is only 65% of that of the brain weight of a full-term infant. Few data are published addressing their developmental outcomes and follow-up needs. In our study, we looked at enrollment in early intervention and receipt of services as one way to assess the developmental needs of this rapidly growing group of preterm infants. As you all know, the early intervention was created by Congress in 1986 under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. In order for a baby to be eligible for services, the child must be less than 3 years old with one of the following: a 12-month delay in one functional area, a 33% delay in one functional area, or a 25% delay in two areas. The objective of our study was to compare the enrollment in early intervention and the utilization of therapeutic services between moderately preterm and very preterm infants at 12 months plus or minus 2 months corrected age. We looked at preterm infants followed at our regional neonatal follow-up clinic in White Plains, New York from January 2005 until October 2006. We included all patients that were born premature, that is less than 37 weeks gestation, who were evaluated at 1 year plus or minus 2 months corrected age. We then stratified them into the moderately preterm and the very preterm subgroups. We used antenatal, maternal, and neonatal variables obtained from the neonatal unit discharge summaries and parental reports. And it's important to note also that in our hospital, if you were 35 weeks gestation, you were eligible, 35 weeks or higher, you're eligible to be admitted to the well baby nursery, provided you didn't have any medical problems. If you were less than that, you were an automatic admission to the neonatal unit. So you could be admitted to the neonatal unit with very little morbidity associated with you, yet have still spent some time in the NICU. So all of those babies, the very sick preterms, as well as the, quote, healthier preterms, were included in our study. We used a logistic regression model to compare moderately preterm babies to very preterm babies for their enrollment in early intervention, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, and special education, while controlling for antenatal, sociodemographic, and neonatal factors. We used chi-square and Fisher's exact tests to compare the characteristics of very preterms and moderately preterm babies with a significance set at a p-value of less than 0.05. So our cohort of infants, we started with 497 preterm babies. 169 of them met our inclusion criteria in that they had an evaluation at 1 year plus or minus 2 months corrected age. Those babies were further subdivided into the very preterm, which were 77 babies, and the moderately preterm, 92 babies. The rest of the babies were excluded for the following reasons. Either they were not old enough yet at the time of our study to have received an evaluation at 1 year corrected age. About 20% of them were lost to follow-up, and 19 of them did reach 1 year of age, however, they did not come in for an evaluation at that time period, in the time window that we were focusing on. Just comparing the characteristics between the two different groups of babies, obvious things such as gestational age, birth weight, length of stay in the neonatal unit, and 5-minute Apgar score were significantly different, as expected, between our moderately preterm babies and our very preterm group. We also found that there were more infants, more multiples in the moderately preterm group than in the very preterm group, which reached statistical significance, and we found a difference in race between the two groups. Also looking at the comorbidities of prematurity, also not unexpectedly, we found that very preterm infants were more likely than moderately preterms to have bronchopulmonary dysplasia or lung immaturity. They were more likely to have received caffeine for apnea of prematurity. They were also more likely to have pretty common neonatal conditions, called necrotizing enterocolitis, respiratory distress syndrome, and retinopathy of prematurity. So here are our results. Now, it's not surprising that our very preterm infants were more likely and they had higher numbers enrolled in early intervention than our moderately preterms, but the point we were trying to make with our research is the fact that our moderately preterm babies, who most people, including pediatricians, think, oh, they're 4 or 5 pounds, they're pretty healthy, we just treat them like full-term infants, they really do have significant morbidities. And all of our services were evaluated, we looked at the need for early intervention at 1 year of age. So it wasn't just babies that were evaluated for the need for early intervention, but these were kids that were still requiring services at 1 year corrected age. So 36% of our moderately preterm babies did require early intervention, 28% required physical therapy, about 18% occupational therapy, 16% speech therapy, and 8% required special education. When looking at odds ratios, again, not unexpectedly, the very preterm infants were more likely than our moderately preterm infants to require these services. However, when we adjusted for the factors that made these two groups different, like the 5-minute Apgar score, receiving caffeine, bronchopulmonary dysplasia, respiratory distress syndrome, or length of stay in the NICU, we found no statistically significant difference between these two groups for requiring services. Therefore, we propose that any degree of prematurity, even moderate preterm babies, are definitely at risk for requiring services as they progress in life. In summary, over one-third of moderately preterm infants were enrolled in early intervention, and 28% received physical therapy. When we adjusted the odds ratios for these for neonatal factors, there was no difference in the odds of utilizing therapies between the two gestational age groups. In conclusion, moderately preterm babies are at risk and must be screened and referred for interventional therapies. They should not be considered small full-term infants. If our results could be extrapolated to the general population, assuming 4.2 million births per year and a 12.5% prematurity rate, there would be 150,000 moderately preterm infants and 75,000 very preterm infants enrolled in early intervention per year. That's quite a lot of moderately preterm infants. And I'd just like to thank my mentors at Westchester Medical Center, as well as New York Medical College. Thank you.
Questions?
Sure. Any questions?
Yeah, in terms of the loss of follow-up, how much of that is due to how rates differ in very preterm and moderate preterm? Would you expect mortality explaining some of the loss of follow-up, then would you expect that to differ?
I think some of the problem with our particular cohort of babies with the loss to follow-up, we didn't really stratify it looking at moderate preterms compared to very preterms and their numbers for loss of follow-up, but we're a regional neonatal center. We cover an area of about 40,000 births, covering, I believe it's 5 or 6 counties in New York State. So oftentimes the parents just can't come back to the regional clinic for follow-up. So if we were to have access to the general pediatrician, and interact with them, we probably get a better assessment. We probably could have had less babies lost to follow up. We would have known, you know, who they had referred for early intervention. No, we didn't look at that.
Comments on that, and I just want to mention again, because someone just came in, that there's a list going around for interest in the maternal and child health section. One is that the criteria for early intervention and eligibility are state specific, and so the ones that you listed are the New York.
And the other thing I didn't mention is that in New York, every baby born less than 1,000 grams, which is about less than 2 pounds, they're automatic referrals for early intervention. Everyone else has to meet their criteria that I mentioned.
And in some state, in my own state, prematurity per se is considered a a risk factor. It doesn't automatically get you into early intervention, but it often does. So the exact implications in terms of increasing the size of the system nationally wouldn't be, you know, would include all of those children, but not necessarily as increases. Some of them would already be in. The other thing I wanted to make, though, is I think Jessica's study points very directly to that initial, for those who were in the room when I was talking about national policy around children with special health care needs, the question of proactive screening and of the need for financing for systems of care that accommodate the needs of children with special health care needs is I think, a really a feature of her presentation.